Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And today we have...
Jason Monk from the Android System UI team.
So
yeah, that's a familiar team.
It is. We have talked in the past two or three times to Dan Sandler, who manages that team. So Jason is on that team, and that team is generally responsible for a lot of the sort of Chromey stuff that you see in the base Android experience, right?
So, yeah, well, the way we say it is all of the pixels you see on your screen that aren't an app we're responsible for.
Interesting. I say the same thing about my team, so clearly there's conflict here.
Because I thought your team would really be like all of the pixels which are an app, because you build like the constructs for those.
I think of us as doing the plumbing, and SysUI is more of an app that sits on top of the plumbing, right?
You're actually working on
the fixtures.
So now it's a debate of like which part is more important, like whether you need the plumbing or like the really nice presentation.
Obviously all of your code is being compiled by the tools, so you know, it goes through us.
All right, so I was thinking that, you know, given the timing of when we're recording this, sort of pre US election, that we should run this debate style. And clearly we've already started that way. We've just had the sort of the conflict session. We're going to get into the insults.
I'm sorry, hasn't Chet already had his 2 minutes? I think it's my turn.
wait, when do my 2 minutes come in?
Sorry, we don't have the independents in this debate, just the major parties. Oh. I'm sorry.
I have a lot of support.
All right, moving on before this gets contentious and painful and depressing. We are here to talk about something that Jason worked on most heavily in N, but I guess a long time before that, quick settings.
Yeah.
So one of the things that occurred to me, I think, was it Lollipop where we first saw the tiles? Like, as soon as I used the tiles of quick settings, I thought, wouldn't it be nice if you could actually move these things around and put other things in there, right?
Yeah. Hotspot one was the one that I really wanted, toggling the hotspot on and off.
Yeah, and the moving you got to start to see in Marshmallow with the tuner.
The tuner.
What's the tuner?
The system UI tuner?
We're pretending not to. Man. So go ahead. And
I forgot to mention. Like, that's like one of my big things.
I have used it occasionally. It's in developer options, right?
Well, no. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Killing me.
No, in developer previews, it was in the developer options. But by the time we launched, we had decided like it was its own thing. Like, you don't need to be a developer to be a power user or to care about this stuff.
Okay, so where do you get this?
So you get there from quick settings, funny enough. you open quick settings and you long press on the gear. And it's actually a little bit longer than a long press. And so you start pressing on it and the gear starts to rev up and rotate. And then you let go and it runs off the screen and then the tuner is enabled.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't hide that behind some sort of weird gesture that you never figure out.
Well, I mean, it's kind of intentionally hidden. There's stuff in there you don't want like an average user to like come across. Like, you can turn off your Wi-Fi icon and then like some user accidentally does that. They're going to be like, I'm never connected to Wi-Fi anymore. What's going on?
So there's
a certain class of users you want in there.
What are the other things in System UI?
Like, developer options would be the same thing, right? Yeah. So when it was first, so you have to tap the build number like 7 times.
Yep.
But I know when that was added, people were complaining internally and they're like, no, when this ships, we will have an app so that you can go and opt in. That doesn't seem to have ever happened.
I think we're kind of happy.
Like, you have to know the secret handshake. Otherwise, you'll probably get in trouble when you have to start thinking about the lifecycle.
It's sort of working as intended. It's supposed to be a little confusing and funky to get in there because it's not really intended for users.
Exactly. What else is in there? One of the first things to go in there was the quick settings rearrangement. Also status bar icons that you can turn on and off. I think I'm missing a couple of things. Demo mode was in there for a period, but we decided that's really more of a developer option. And it really shouldn't go in there because developers want to take screenshots.
Right.
There's not really a heavy scenario where a power user is like, oh, hey, I really want to take screenshots of my device and I want it to not show notifications and be at this exact time. That doesn't happen. But developers do want to do that so they can get screenshots of their app. Okay. And recent stuff, power notification controls, which is really awesome. It lets you override basically the importance of any notification. So it changes the long press in like settings. The inline settings of notifications, when you turn them on, you get like a slider. You can go from like all the way blocked to like, this is really important.
Is there some setting that you apply because you feel like the default was wrong? So like, this is your way to get back at the UX people?
To get back at the UX people. Not any that I want to come out about.
Okay, all right.
Some of those definitely exist in the tuner. I am a little bit of a rebel. I will build entire feature systems just to obfuscate like which one thing really bothers me. So I will say this.
We're recording this, right?
Okay, right. Yeah. The status bar section of the tuner is one of those, and I won't say which, but there is one status bar icon that I really hate. And I was like, okay, I need to find a way to get rid of this. And I was like, okay, I'll build a system. You can remove all of the status bar icons. You can only show the ones you want. And that way I can ditch the one that I don't.
This is the part of the podcast where I make feature requests, right?
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead.
Usually to Chet, but in this case for you. So there are some icons. I don't know what they do. And so I try to because, you know, in like a toolbar, you can long press on icons and it'll show a tooltip if the app is written well. That doesn't seem to work with the notification bar.
Yeah. So
why?
Maybe because they were just waiting for your feature request.
Yeah. I mean, well, you don't want to make that a tap target because like generally you want tap targets to be at least 48 dp and the status bar is not that tall. So you really don't want to be like trying to encourage people to click on it. But this is an issue that we are concerned about. And so we try to have matching iconography between the status bar and quick settings. So any icon which shows up in the status bar, we try to have something in quick settings that matches that so you can kind of understand what's going on. And so that is your escape hatch of like, oh, I see some icon. I have no idea what it is. You pull down the shade, you expand quick settings. Hopefully there's something there. And that's a little bit loosey-goosey now that you can edit it. And so there are a few tiles which don't show up by default that you may not see right away. But if you poke around, you can find them all.
Like the cellular data one has all these different symbols in it too, right? And what do they mean?
What does H mean? I've never quite understood that.
You don't know what H means?
No, it's like it'll go into that mode and then out, and then E pops up, meaning this is going to be a horrible connection.
Yeah. And there's LTE, else in there. Yeah, there's a bunch, but I would love to just kind of know what all the options are. So,
yeah, that's a good point. We've considered rethinking connectivity a lot, and we continue to think about how to make connectivity better for users because it's really hard to understand at the exact moment what people want. They want to know like if they have internet or not, but they also kind of want to know like where that internet's coming from and how fast it's going to be. So it's a really tricky problem. H is an interesting one. H is actually HSPA, which is a type of 4G. I hate the G system. It's nonsense. But it's a type of 4G, but it's nowhere near as good as LTE, which is probably why you have sort of disdain for it when you say H.
I know that it's an in-between mode that I probably don't want to be in. It's not as bad as E. E means basically you're not going to get this for a while.
Well, it used to be the good case, right? So going back 3-4 years ago, when you got the H, you were happy because that was better than the alternative.
H for happy.
Yeah.
And now exactly. H for humble or heartbroken.
Right. Yeah. So maybe the System UI Tuner can let me make the notification bar taller so that you
could really see
could actually
on.
Put touch targets on there.
Yeah.
Or you can encourage people to, you know, when you get a phone, typically get like this little pinprick thing you use to eject the SIM card with. Maybe I can use that to touch the notification bar, right? To find the exact pixel that I can still get a tooltip.
I should point out that we're trying to get better about working on accessibility features and making the phones accessible to people that don't have, you know, little pinpointing devices for fingertips.
Right.
And I think this type of feature might work against that.
Yeah, I can imagine the bugs that would come in from the accessibility team about this.
One pixel touch target.
Also, naturally, I'd be a little bit scared. So the realm, the unseen realm that the tuner operates in, which is kind of like this weird constraint space, is it has to be minimally affecting on the code. Because, like, you know, these aren't features which we're prioritizing, and I hope that people out in the world understand that. Like, we are not removing, like, first-class features to spend our time building these power user tools. Like, these are opportunistic things. And so because of that, like, modifying the height of the status bar has like implications throughout the system. And I personally would be very scared of like throwing something in like that when like it's possible it would break things. So I don't want to build a tuner feature which has this potential to have a ripple effect across the platform and cause other bugs for normal people.
I should point out too, related to what you just said, is that most of the tools that you run into, even the ones integrated in Android Studio, probably in a previous generation, those were tools written by engineers that needed the tools to do whatever they were working on. So a great example is quick settings inside a System UI tuner, right? So the idea of having an editable set of tiles was in the release, in the platform to some extent, way before people saw it in. And we like to put these things in and then play with them. And then when they are ready, when we've fleshed out the API and the approach, then they'll be part of the public platform, right? So the fact that we were able to have a tool where we can actually play with this in a real way before we, you know, force it on people, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, another instance of that is the smallest width option in developer options, which is you can set the smallest width of your phone in developer options now that we have density scaling, which is really amazing for developers because you're like, oh, I need an SW600 device. Let me just drag my phone to 600 dp.
Yep.
So yeah, sorry.
Cool. I was going to say, are there any features like that in the last, so that's coming out in 7.1 where it used to be a system UI tuner thing and now we've promoted it to full membership of Android?
Yeah, there is Nightlight. Nightlight was briefly a tuner thing. I kept trying to remember what I called it back then. It might have been called Night Mode. I think it was called Night Mode for a while.
Is this the one where it sort of tints, it gets rid of all the white and blue light and sort of turns everything kind of warm and orange?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I know Playbooks had that for quite a while. It was just inside the Books app. And I love that. And then, you know, you see a little, I'm going to check my mail and you accidentally open Inbox and it's, you know, your eyes are burning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so because of that, we knew we needed a platform-wide solution. And so me and Alan were kind of talking to each other. And I was like, you know, using these accessibility tools that we have for like color stuff, would it be possible to just generate a matrix, which is like the kind of coloring you would want at night? And that's where that came from. And then it ended up not being good enough quality or good enough performance to really ship in the tuner. But then it turned into a real feature on Pixel devices. So.
Yeah, I just played with it. It's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Where did we start this conversation?
Well, we were talking about quick settings, so I guess we can get back into that. But it's a system UI tuner.
Yeah. So is there anything new in System UI Tuner to play with now?
Not in MR1. There was new stuff. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, man.
Stuff. Go check it out.
Go check it out.
Go play with the stuff. Tap the wrong button and regret that we ever told you about it.
Yeah, well, there is a very important option in there, which is an overflow menu. Remove the tuner and it resets all of the settings from the tuner. And there's a bug in there where it also resets your quick settings tiles, but ignore that. So like, you know, if you're a power user and like you do some bad stuff, you're like, oh God, I need to get out of here. You got an escape hatch.
Okay. All right. So popping up the stack back to quick settings.
Quick settings.
So tell us about quick settings. What is it? Why?
Quick settings. It is a space. We went through an exercise of trying to figure out and aligning across our team, which is like, what is quick settings when we decide to do the API? Because we had to like all unify on like, what is the space for and when is it useful? What we decided is most importantly, it is frequently or urgently needed tasks. So you're doing this all the time. You're in an app and like 10 times a day, you need to like toggle Wi-Fi. I don't know why you'd need to do that. We'll not talk about other issues in the platform, but or urgently needed, like you need to go into airplane mode right now. Yep. Like you don't frequently need to go into airplane mode, but when you do it, you do not want to be digging around in settings looking for it because the stewardess is going to come over and be very unhappy with you.
Yep. Right. I think tethering is my favorite, but it was so inconvenient to get to in the past. And now you can just kind of toggle it on and off.
Yep. Yeah.
As you need to.
Yeah. Yep. And there's one other element, which I kind of hold dear, which we didn't decide is like I don't think it's a fundamental tenet of quick settings, but I think is important, which is context. Actions in quick settings can be done in context, or at least almost all of them can be done in context. So you're in an app, you open quick settings, the app doesn't stop. The app is still resumed. You don't like destroy whatever you're in. And this is kind of a problem of apps. Like, I mean, fundamentally, they should handle this. Like we have the APIs for them to pause and go away and come back in the exact same state. But the sad fact is a lot of apps out there don't do that. Yep. So going out to another app and coming back, you're not always in the same place. And so being able to do things in quick settings without leaving context is something I really hold important.
Right, which is all the more important because all of these quick settings things are essentially device-wide things, right? I want to turn on the flashlight on the device. I want to turn on airplane mode for the device. It has nothing to do with context of the app, so you can take care of it in this different dimension that doesn't destroy the app.
Yeah, well, and that was something that came up a lot in the discussion about what is quick settings and whether it is just a device thing. Because now with the API, it's not actually just device. It can be other things.
What
it could
API?
Be other devices. There's a quick settings tile API in N. So now developers can add, well, they can't add quick settings tiles. They can provide quick settings tiles and users can go add them if they decide they want them. And so that kind of like changes the realm. And that was a point of heavy discussion, which was deciding whether we wanted to open this up. And I really fought for it because I think that quick settings is a cool space. And it's really great to open that up to developers. It gives them things that they previously couldn't do. Like now quick settings is available on the lock screen. So you can have actions from apps, which are on the lock screen. Which is really great. And you can do things in context, which I also hold really important. So like if you need to do something right now, either frequently or urgently from an app, you can do it in context and it's not a problem.
Are there some examples of apps that have done this that you could think of that have added quick settings that you've added to your phone?
Yeah. Oh man, my memory doesn't work that way. Yes. I've heard of several instances, but now you're killing me. You know, there was an interesting one of the first few tiles that I saw out there after the API launched was the volume was a volume tile, which was really interesting. People really want there is some group of people out there who really want like volume in their quick settings. We have this like we like Android team and UX have decided that like volume is a part of your volume buttons and it brings up the separate panel. But like evidently there's some group of people out there who care enough about it that they want a tile.
Oh, you know what I want is a volume lock. Because when I run, sometimes the phone is shaking around and the volume buttons get pressed.
Ah.
And it's really annoying. And I sort of want the volume buttons not to work for a while temporarily.
That sounds like something that should be a feature request for the tuner.
Hey, that sounds good. Who do I talk to about that?
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk later.
All right.
I'll hook you up with the guy.
How much cash do you have on you?
Yeah, I actually know there are some apps that claim to do this, but they are kind of funky. So I would love to have it built, you know, in the same place that controls the rest so that it can sort of be made to work exactly the way I want. So, cool.
So I imagine one of the reservations about exposing it as public API, especially not as a stage thing, like let's have quick settings and then maybe in the next release, you know, we're comfortable enough with that, we expose the public API. But one of the reservations relates to what I hear, you know, the team saying when you talk about this or what's in the docs. It's like, this is for atomic actions, right? It's like if you expose any foothold into the API for developers to do silly things, someone in the universe will think of something silly to do with it, right? Like, oh, pressing on this tile will immediately, you know, launch this application and start the service and do crazy things, right? So how do you protect against that in the API? Or do you just trust developers or do you trust users to uninstall the silly apps?
Yeah, because of that, yeah, the API was a very tricky surface to figure out for me. sorry about the dead thinking time. Yeah, so it's very much a mix of like trying to discourage, and on a few occasions we prevent bad behavior, but then also like a mix of like getting communication out there and encouraging people. I know there's like a blog post about it, and we have some like design guidelines around how we really think they should be. And another sort of along these same lines is a really tricky part about this is that quick settings is different across a lot of devices. Like OEMs change quick settings a lot. We even change quick settings across releases. So like having an API surface here and making tiles still feel like they're a part of the platform and part of that surface is tricky. And so that's why we have these guidelines on icons that they should be white on transparent, and they will be tinted. So like, you know, if a device has green quick settings or something like that, or blue quick settings or whatever, it will recolor the icons and they will feel like they're still a part of it.
And do you trust the developers then to provide the right assets, or are we turning their assets into white regardless of what they give us? Or?
Yeah, we do turn them into white regardless. But if you dump some icons in there, it will look really bad because of the way tinting works on the platform. Like there's some like if you dump a full colorized icon in there, which is like a circle with a bunch of designs in it, you'll just end up with a white circle. Well, at least on you know Nexus and Pixel device, you'll end up with a white circle, and on OEMs, God knows what color it'll be.
Okay.
So going back to what you said about like the tile just doing one thing, I remember that was very confusing for me in the beginning with like the Wi-Fi one. Because I would say, okay, which Wi-Fi network am I on? And I would click it thinking I'm now going to go and change it. And it would just toggle the whole thing off, which is what I didn't want. And I think I've learned now to go and press in the touch area below where it says the Wi-Fi name. That seems to actually open Wi-Fi settings, which is what I want. I would love
not
for that.
Not then, actually.
What?
We've changed that.
No! Or wait, did you change it for the better?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
what does it do?
It depends for the better or not.
Yeah, and it opens up the extra dialogue. Like if you click on the name of the network, it'll bring up the panel.
But I would like to just tap the whole thing.
Or does it?
is toggling Wi-Fi on and off such an important thing that should be the majority of the touch area?
It actually really is. We have some usage metrics which show that both actions are used heavily.
I'm saying I used it, but not on purpose. I clicked it thinking this will give me the Wi-Fi settings, and it didn't, right? And then I go, oh, and I've done that how many times until I learned finally to press the sort of little thing behind it. So
yeah. So we tried to tease that apart in N. And so now in N, this is the first time we've had like quick settings tiles that show up immediately when you pull down the shade.
Hold on.
This is
that
the quicker
like
quick
big
settings.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I actually call it QQS.
Ones. QQS. Okay.
QQS is the name I use. And the funny thing is that actually caught on without me telling it to everyone. Like other people started calling it QQS. So clearly that's like the universal name for it.
So okay. I remember that in the old days. Like you either like on the tablet, on the Zoom, you know, if you drag the slider from the right side, you got quick settings. From the left, you get notifications. And at some point, you could drag twice, right?
Yeah,
and you're saying
yeah.
It's changed again?
It's changed again. What? Well, you can still drag twice.
Okay.
But when you drag the first time, you get 5 or 6 in MR1. But so five or six tiles, and those actually, the system tiles have a way of differentiating behavior there. And so quick settings and Bluetooth are toggles in that case. So like the assumption is like you just got into there, you want to do something quick, you just want to turn it off. And if you want to do like the deep panel interaction, like you want to change networks, then you expand again and click on Wi-Fi, and then it will go into the detail panel.
Right, but you still don't click on the icon. You have to click on the text.
No.
Right?
The icon.
Click on the icon.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do not have dual touch targets in N. We removed that because we were concerned. I definitely had experienced that. There were a few people out in the world that I would be like holding their device, and I'd touch like the second touch target, and they'd be like, "What just happened?"
Yeah, it's really
you'd
not
be like,
obvious.
Yeah, it's always there.
Yeah. It seems like maybe we could even have two separate tiles for that. Then one could be toggling and one could be switching, right?
Because, yeah, I've thought about that, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so going back to the API. So what is the surface? So what do developers do to expose a tile? And how does it get into the system? How do we know that the tile is there?
Yeah, so there are two modes for a tile. One of them I heavily recommend, and one is there sort of out of necessity. And the heavily recommended version is a passive tile. And the idea is the system knows when a tile needs to be updated. And so fundamentally, a tile is a service, and the system will bind to you when you need to be updating and telling us what your tile should be showing. And so you extend a tile service, and it's got some fancy callbacks and whatever. And we'll tell you, hey, you should start updating now. You should add all of your broadcast listeners or ask your server what's up or do whatever kind of syncing you need to do. And you should push us your state as often as you have new state until we tell you we're done with you. And the reason it's in that model, well, it's in that model because I fundamentally think that tiles should be like that. Like we don't want them eating up system resources unless you're actually looking at quick settings or care about what's in there.
So this thing gets spawned when the user has pulled down the notification shade?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the settings shade or
whatever. Yeah. And so this is actually the way quick settings has worked a lot longer than we've had the API, but like no one knows about that because it doesn't matter. And so we've had this what we call listening state internally, which is like there are only certain times you want to eat up system resources with updating quick settings. And so that's like when you're on the lock screen because you might be accessing quick settings, or when you have the notification shade open because you might be accessing quick settings.
Okay, so actually going back to the question I asked, it seems like I'm probably wrong, because if they start pulling it down, you don't want us calling out to all kinds of random services pinging these things before we can update the tiles, right? Because you don't want to cause jitter in just starting up, you know, dragging that notification.
Well, we don't actually cause jitter. It kind of is it's an asynchronous background thing.
Okay. So we'll update the tile if they update the information.
Yeah, and I mean it's very simplistic now, but the API is worded kind of openly so that we can improve this intelligence later. Like, well, in future releases, we definitely want to make sure that, you know, in the background we periodically update these when we feel that, so that even in like the first couple frames of pulling it down, it'll still be something relatively non-stale. So, you know, that's definitely something we're looking at for the future. But in the first iteration, yeah, it's pretty simplistic. Like, you start bringing down the shade, it's possible you'll get stale content. I've never seen it more than a couple of frames on third-party tiles. And so because of that, that also
Does
allows...
Does that mean that you're sort of the tile API separates on painting the feedback for what it should do and for computing it? So you can sort of paint it without it doing work?
Yes. So let's get a little bit into the details of the tile API here. So there isn't actually painting. The way it works is when your service is bound, you can grab an instance of a tile. And a tile has three pieces of state, which is an icon, a description, a text underneath it, and a content description for accessibility. And so the icon is just like the icon class. So really, it just generates a drawable, but it's parcelable. So you can send it across the system. Yeah. So a tile has very little control in drawing, like so much less than widgets or in an activity or even in remote views and notifications. You can't do custom UI. All you get is a drawable. And that's because system UI needs to manage that state for you and needs to know when to update it.
I see. So a tile should make sure that they can just provide that drawable really quickly.
Yes.
Ideally, they have some sort of default thing that they return, and then they can do the computation asynchronously.
Well, and we will actually load the defaults based on their manifest. The manifest declaration, so you asked about declaration of services and how this all works. And so you declare a service in your manifest. If you extend tile service, you have a service which implements a specific action, which lets the system know, like, hey, this is a tile. And you add a permission on it just to make sure that no one else binds to it and does weird stuff. And you also give it a label and an icon, just like any other service. And those get used as defaults, and they get shown when the user is adding them. So, like, that's like what they'll see for like your advertisement of like, hey, you should have my tile. Look,
and that's
cool.
How you can pull down the shade without any delay because you're just showing the default icon.
Yeah, you'll show the default icon. But in my experience, the turnaround is really fast. Only a few icons across the top, like there's only a few icons which could possibly hit that.
But I mean, if I wanted to make a quick tile that shows like the current build status on our build server.
Oh, yeah. The turnaround on that might be a little bit.
Exactly. I mean, you know, your callback saying, give me the current drawable, I could be making a synchronous network request that could be really slow, and I wouldn't want the UI to hang. But like you're going to do that from background thread anyway. The shade will come down. You'll show the default drawable, and at some point...
At some point, whenever you push us an update, we'll show the new one.
Plus, they could just make an assumption that the build is red and then just paint a red tile.
Well, the build has to be white and then tinted to whatever the color is. Right.
Yeah, but you're not actually going to get any colors in there because it's tinted.
On a Samsung phone, it'll probably look green. Right? Isn't that what they do?
Plus red.
Most of the system UI tiles are green.
Yeah, I didn't want to say green for Samsung in case I was wrong. That's why I was being honest.
That's my impression.
And it may change. Yep. So green plus red equals brown. Actually, anything plus any other color equals brown. That's what I learned. I did a master's degree in color theory, and everything turns brown.
Isn't that subtract?
Oh, really?
That's subtractive colors, right? With additive colors, they all turn white.
No, in my experience, they're just everything.
If you have a green flashlight and a red flashlight, and you shine them together, you're not going to get brown.
No, probably you're out of battery. And
what color do you get?
I'm
really
go back
curious.
To the calculations.
No, it's like RGB sliders. When you do RGB sliders, that's really additive colors, right?
Actually,
so you add basically like red plus green, you get yellow, you get white.
Okay.
But if you had paints and you were to mix them, that's subtractive colors, and that's when you basically end up with brown.
That's when you end up with brown. If you want to geek out on colors, the really, really cool thing, when I started the research for my thesis, my advisor had me look into some art by Seurat, pointillism, and it's basically RGB. Right, it's additive mixing with paints because he wasn't mixing the colors. Instead, he was applying the colors as individual dots on the canvas.
So it's like
a step back from the canvas, you're getting the direct color reflected, and the colors are mixing in your eye. Right, so that's why those paintings are much brighter, and you can get much different colors in pointillism than you can in normal mixed color. So there you go.
Informational podcast.
That's the last thing I ever want to say about color theory because I tried to get the hell away from that after the graduate work.
It's funny we get deep into color theory in the one API where you can't touch colors.
We just want people to feel regret.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you really feel bad.
Okay, so there's tile service API. Quick tile service?
No quick in it, I don't think. Okay. I think it's just tile service.
Tedious and slow tile service. Okay, so there's the service part, but then there's the other part of the actual tile? Like, aren't there two parts of the API then?
Well, so a tile service is your service which implements it, but it grabs onto a tile. It says, like, get QS tile, I think. That's the only
QS
place.
Tile, right.
That's the only place where it says QS in the API, I think. And that gives you an instance of something where you can update your icon and everything. And you call a push state function to say, like, push what I've got over to the...
So that's basically the data structure that you push the information into that system UI reads from then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the tiny icons, is that just a scaled down version? Are they providing multiple sizes here?
They're not tiny. They're actually the same size.
Wait, really?
What?
The ones in the QQS?
And the QQS are the same size as the full QS. The only thing you are missing is that they're closer together.
Yeah.
They're closer together and there is no label, which is an interesting point that maybe we should mention is that a user can drag any tile into the first five or six items and it will show up in QQS and there won't be a label there. So you want your iconography to be simple enough that you could determine something from it. Maybe it wouldn't be completely usable. Maybe sometimes to learn how to use it, you expand QS, but like you want it to be at least understandable and actionable based on just that icon.
Okay. And then there's always nine, or do you determine that based on, you know, density and size of the screen?
Density, size of the screen, rotation of the screen, all sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah. In landscape, it's actually eight. And there's pagination. So there are several pages, which has a lot of advantages. That's why we don't show pagination in the edit screen is because there is no guarantee as to how many tiles we're going to show on the screen because you rotate your screen, you get a different number of tiles. So there's no guarantee on numbers. Like, you know, if you have a 320 DP phone, I don't know where those are out there, but I'm told they exist. You have a lot less tiles.
Actually, if you change the density of your phone, right?
Or so if you change your
display
phone.
Display size settings, yeah, you can put yourself into
exactly.
That
mode. In landscape, I think you end up with like three tiles or maybe four.
Okay.
But yeah, and so the pages are interesting. So we will only, because of system resources, we will only bind two tiles, which we're showing on the screen. So as you flip through the pages, we'll bind to different tiles. And that allows you to have more third-party tiles on your device
right. And
not create crazy load.
Okay, so when you go and you install this, I don't know, newsreader application that happens to implement a tile.
How are we not talking like IoT? Like this is like the most beautiful use case of quick settings tiles is like IoT.
Tell me what a beautiful use case of a tile would be. Is that
like,
better?
Yeah.
As a segue?
Yeah. Like, okay. I don't know. Like, I mean, like if you have like a light switch, we talked about this a lot because like there is potential confusion between like quick settings, which it was previously your device controls. And now it's like extending to even other devices, not only just apps, but like other devices with IoT stuff. But yeah, I feel like personally to me, that is like one of the best cases. The other thing I would like to see is a floating calculator tile, like something you click on and it brings up a dialogue with a calculator in it. I have a prototype of one, but... So IoT, I think, is a great one. Like if you have a light somewhere that you want to switch all the time, or even like maybe a master switch, which is like your one master switch tile, which like turns off all the lights in your
house.
Turns off the internet. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, if we took away touch targets, because I'm thinking here like IoT, so, you know, I have a Nest thermostat, right?
Yeah.
But it's not a single off on. I want to see the temperature and I want up and down buttons. And it kind of goes down to back to your volume control issue too, right? I don't just want volume up. I may want volume down, right?
Yeah.
So are these just like trampoline buttons then that I click on the volume thing and then it opens up another app?
No.
It goes against the whole context thing you mentioned.
Yes, and I care greatly about that. So yeah, so let's go into that a little bit. One of the first questions when we get into like, okay, I want to do something more complicated. And the most common one we hear is like tri-state because we say don't do tri-state in a tile. Don't like click between three states. It's too confusing. If you're going to do that, you should pull up more UI. And so the first question after that is like, oh, how do I do a detail panel? Like the Wi-Fi one. Like, how do I copy that? And so that's not in the API.
Oh, the detail panel is, I thought that was just kind of opening the slow settings.
No,
something else?
The detail panel is a part of quick settings. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We are getting something else. Okay.
Yeah. But that is not in the API.
So we're not getting something else.
Yeah, you're not getting something else is really what you're finding out.
All right.
Yeah, that's the first question. It's not in there because it's a really complicated space to figure out the API for. And we wanted to start with getting the API out there and make sure we're happy with it and then kind of evaluate the demands of people. Like when they say, oh, they want this, what do they need and what exactly shape that takes? Because like, you know, the tile is so restrictive. Like we're just like, here's your icon, here's your text. We make sure it feels like part of the system. So if we do something with that with a bigger, more complex space, we need to figure out how to still make it feel like part of the system and still give people flexibility.
So like now I feel like if I want to do my volume control, I have to do like Morse code input, right?
No. Okay. So we do have a solution for that.
Okay.
And so it's almost as good. So there is a show dialogue option in a tile, which will pop up a dialogue and it is an in-context dialogue. It's not like an activity with a dialogue tagged or whatever. It doesn't stop the activity underneath. It's a real dialogue which sits on top of everything, which is also important with multi-window. Because if you're in multi-window and you have a split screen going on, you touch on a tile, you don't want to be taken out of that or like messed up with all of that. It completely confuses your context.
Wait, but in multi-window, and I pulled on the shade covers both
it covers
windows,
both.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you're
the
popping up another
what?
Dialogue.
The dialogue
on top
pops
of that.
Up on top of both
wow.
windows.
Wow.
Okay, good.
There's
like so many layers. If you count navigation bar and status bar, that's like six windows on the screen all at the same time, right?
Yeah. It's a good thing we've gotten better at windows, right?
Yeah. All right, so that's how you were implementing your calculator prototype.
Exactly. Okay. So if you want, if you want a tri-state or if you want some more complicated state, the recommended way is you pop up a dialogue. And so to be honest, except for like some experience things, the only functional ability you lose based on a detail panel is you can't go right back to quick settings after that. You have to go back to whatever you're doing. So you assume that the user can immediately determine what they want. So
I don't have an activity. I have a service.
You have a service.
But then just pop up a dialogue from the service.
Yep. And we'll keep the service alive to make sure that you don't die. That's not an issue.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you would expect the IoT stuff to happen? Because I'm thinking,
no.
I don't want a master switch.
Well, for light switch, it's off on. But for anything else,
But which light switch? Then you'd need like 24 of these,
Do you have more than light switch in your house?
What's that?
Don't you just turn the lights on?
Yeah. Like
that's
you
why
get
it's
home
plural.
And you, you
it's
you
not
hit, like,
light,
the home
turn
button.
The light on. It's turn the lights on because once
everywhere? What a waste.
Your house isn't wired to turn all lights off at the same time?
No. If I go out to my fuse box and I yank that, sure.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The massive switch for the fuse?
Like IoT, like you insert a new fuse, which is IoT enabled, right?
I was just talking to someone the other day about, do you remember the California brownouts, you know, when we didn't have enough power and they were rolling out at us and they would just turn off power?
Uh-huh.
That was before I had a laptop, right? I had a Solaris workstation.
Oh.
And it was very annoying when these things happened because do you remember losing your work due to power outage? That doesn't happen anymore. Now power goes out, lights go down, and you're still like looking at your screen.
Maybe you are. I'm still on a workstation.
What a time to be alive.
We were talking about dialogues. So there is a little bit of complicated interaction about dialogues with the lock screen. So QuickSign styles can show up on the lock screen. And I'm pretty sure we have some example code out there around this. But there are a couple methods on tile service, which are like, am I locked and is the device secure? And so based on all of that, there are a bunch of different actions you can take. So if the device is locked but there's no pin, you can immediately unlock it on a tile press. And that will just give you a dialogue experience immediately.
When you say you mean the tile or mean you the user?
You the developer.
Okay.
You the developer. There's a method which is like, you know, unlock and run, which will like let an unlock happen and then you get to run some code.
So I haven't actually seen the quick tiles on the lock screen. How does that work? I remember widgets on lock screen a while back, right?
Yeah.
Is it like that?
No.
Pulling down the shade. It's the same
you have to
experience.
Pull down the shade. Okay.
You pull down the shade.
Okay.
And right there.
Okay. Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of nice. It's very consistent. It's just you have quicker access because I don't have to log in first before doing the same action.
Yeah. Okay. So for those actions that you want to allow on the lock screen and show a dialogue, you actually have to create an activity that can show when locked and spin that up. Because it's the only way to show something on top of the lock screen. You need to explicitly say, like, I have some content which is insecure, and I'm comfortable showing this to the user and letting them interact with it without typing in their PIN.
That gets a little trickier.
Bit tricky. You basically have, like, you know, a three-case if going on, which is, like, your device is secure and it's locked, and so you want to pop up this activity. You want to unlock the device and then show your dialogue, or you are unlocked and you just show your dialogue.
Yeah. Seems like an opportunity for us to improve the APIs.
It does, this is a tricky surface because you want developers to explicitly decide the behavior here. Whenever you allow something on the lock screen, you need to be careful that you're not creating security holes in there.
Right, I agree. So like, there should be a parameter that says whether or not you want this. But I'm thinking like, instead of having to actually go and make this activity and do all this stuff, it seems like we could do all that as long as when you invoke this API, you pass the, you know, this you know, enum. Let's say, right? Yeah. Which says whether you want it to be secure or not secure or both.
Yeah. So there are some other really deep technical complications on that, which is like the activity which shows on the lock screen. We'd either need to rewrite parts of the window manager, which is terrifying. I'm not going to go near that right now, to show these dialogues on the lock screen when they say they should. Or we'd have to somehow provide this activity for them, which you probably know is pretty confusing and complicated. If you're doing this like insecure behavior on the lock screen, you have to declare that activity in your manifest, which like it's basically a shell activity, which just is like, hey, show this dialogue. But still, that needs to exist as part of your manifest for your app, which is like, here's this thing I'm launching.
I just thought SystemUI has the magic keys to get around all that.
Just because you have power doesn't mean you should use it.
Okay. All right.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
On that note, no.
It's something I would like to improve in the future. But you know, there's only so much API surface you can do in a release and feel comfortable with it because, you know, we're committed to APIs forever. And so every method you add, you need to be like, does this apply? Is this really correct? Are we going to be happy with this in the future?
Isn't it just easier and more consistent to force the users through an unlock? So instead of forcing the developers to, you know, figure out this activity mechanism, it's like, well, if you need to get to secure information, then you require the user to go through unlock. And now they're looking at quick settings in an unlocked device.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, that would be a lot easier, but you definitely lose some functionality. This is the only type of control that you can show completely and securely right now. I've heard a lot, well, unless you're like spoofing the camera intent or something. I've heard a lot of requests from like even just from Google developers who come in and are like, you know, I want to show this thing on the lock screen so that people can launch it instantly. And now we at least have like some sort of mechanism for that now, which is like, here's this thing which I can launch and I don't have to type in my PIN, which is nice for the users who don't happen to have fingerprint and take like 2 seconds to get it.
I want their phones. Yeah. I don't have to spend all this time unlocking it. Okay. So let's see. Did we cover all the developer aspects?
Feels like it.
We didn't talk about long press at all. There's a long press thing.
There's a what?
There's a long press. You can long press on quick setting styles. And as of N,
what does that do?
It goes to settings. So if you long press on Wi-Fi, it takes you right into Wi-Fi settings. Like, you know immediately that you need to do something deeper, something way in there, and you don't want to go to settings and then go to Wi-Fi.
And there's a developer API for this as well, so I can sort of... Okay.
So this would go to the settings for their app or something?
Yeah, so it fell a little short of what I would want. I've definitely heard some feedback that it's not great. But the way it works is there's some action which you can implement in your app. And that will act as the long press for all of your quick settings tiles. So there's no way to differentiate if you're providing three tiles, which one was long pressed on, but at least you can provide some settings. And so those are it should take you right into settings which are related to your tile.
Okay. So you could take them to like a generic settings thing and then redirect them to the app.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess if you had like two different tiles for different light switches in your house, I guess they could both go to the master light switch control.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and that's something I definitely plan to improve on in future releases, which is fixing up that API, because I've heard it from OEMs and I've heard it from users, from developers for the API, and so.
Okay. We haven't talked about slow settings.
Slow settings.
Settings.
Because you've worked on that as well, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I did settings for probably over a year.
Is there any new design surface for developers that they should be aware of? Or is it basically system preferences, the classic API?
We might have added one. I think there was one we added. I think we added a generic preferences, actually, which is like we have deep link preferences for a bunch of things, which is like notifications and data usage and stuff like that. You're on like those screens and there's like a gear icon and that will take you over to the app, individual app's preferences about notifications, or at least hopefully if you're implementing the action correctly, it'll take you right there.
Okay.
I think we added a top level one, which is like, you go to settings, you click on apps, you click on, first app you think of, whatever, calculator, and then there's a gear which can show up there if you collect the correct action, which can be nice for users that are really confused. They're like, I need to change something, I don't know what. At least they have some link over to their app from there.
Yeah, at least that's a standard place, because it's a little tricky. All apps surface their settings in different ways in different submenus.
Yeah, and even platforms do it differently too. So that can be confusing.
Yeah, or fun. It's an adventure.
Choose your own adventure
apps. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I see settings as more of a user thing, more like a use case in how to use basically preferences API, right?
Yeah, it definitely is, which can be tricky.
So we've heard. We should take a look at some of that stuff.
So the Compat library supports most of it now. I know that there used to be a problem with, I can't remember if it was the preference fragment or preference activity, one of them sort of wasn't available in the support library.
Yeah. Preferences were only recently added to the support library. Previously, they were in the framework and they were list view only. So now there are preferences in the support library which are based on recycler view, which has a lot of advantages and some disadvantages, because if you're migrating over from old preferences, I went through this, I think in N actually, was when we switched. And there's a lot of differences. Like recycler view animates, and it animates changes. So all of a sudden there were tons of setting screens that you get to them, and there are probably even still some out in the release, that you click on the screen and then something resizes in front of you as we get the information in.
Wi-Fi must be good at rearranging stuff too. The networks are changing around you and they're going to be animating.
There are things from off the screen just like flying in instantly. Yeah, that
sounds like a chat feature.
Yeah. It's really tricky to deal with the animations and preferences, because you need to produce all of your information really quickly, much faster than before. Because with the framework preferences, you can like get on create and then get on resume and then kind of be like, okay, here are my updates. And usually you'd get it all in before like list view even gets to one frame, and like you'd be all set because nothing's going to move.
Yeah.
But then like if you do any of that in callbacks in recycler view, it's going to be like, oh, something changed. Time to animate. Boom.
Yeah, it seems like we should at least expose the API and preferences to say, disable animations for now or something, to give you a little bit more control over the underlying widget who is, doing all of this on your behalf.
There is a way to do that. It's on preference screen, I believe, which is like you say like whether you want animations for this entire preference screen or not.
Yeah.
And the way that we handle that in settings, because we need to do it so globally, it's actually more common that we don't want animations than we do, just because settings is a huge surface. It is so insane to cover. We actually overload in like our base fragment, which is like set preference screen. And on every preference screen that comes in, we're like, turn off animations. Like, turn them off and turn them on when we're ready. And like when we know that we're good and polished and ready to deal with them.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. And then you worked on other stuff.
Yeah.
Connectivity also in System UI?
So what do you mean
by that?
You
mean like figuring out whether to put an H on the little icon?
Whether to put an H or not. I actually rewrote all that code right after pretty soon after I joined System UI. We had to do multi-sim or M-sim. And so that's kind of how I ended up being the person for all the connectivity stuff and the conduit for the connectivity team. Because previously we had all this crazy code, which is like, you know, ifs and switches and in 10 different places, like set the icon to this and now set it to this if this weird condition is on. Yeah. And, you know, none of that worked well if you're like, okay, now we have two icons. It's just the whole thing fell apart. So we had to redo all of that. But actually, before I was even on System UI, I was on EDU, on Android EDU, working on education stuff for tablets and phones, and played a big part in the early lock task APIs, which is like kind of morphed and like has new uses every single release that I don't even notice.
So tell us what that is.
When it started, the EDU perspective of this, I was kind of like 20%ing on System UI too at the same time, which was worked out really well because I was like the lock task guy. So the EDU purpose of this is like you want to do testing and you want to be sure that like students are not cheating, so they can't be going to other apps. So you need some method for an app to say, do not let them go anywhere until I'm done. And then when they're done, they can go do other stuff.
Even into the quick settings, calculator
even
dialogue?
Even into the quick settings. Yeah, even into the quick settings.
Calculator in particular.
Dialogue. The EDU side of that was building an API for that. And it's heavily locked down to device owners because you really don't want apps getting that power because that's terrifying. You know, like one accidental app install and your device is gone. But then there was a user-side facing feature, which was screen pinning.
Yeah.
Which is you go into Recents and you click the pin on a task, and there's actually a switch in settings to turn it on, so the pin's not always there. But once you turn it on, you can click the pin and it will lock it. It's great if you have kids because like they can't instantly get out of the app. They have to like do some gesture to be like, okay, I'm done. And there's even an API surface for apps to be like, please put me in this mode now, and it will prompt the user because security. And the user can say, yes, sure, that sounds good.
Okay. So I assume that is what apps or what device owners would want for like a kiosk mode or something so that they can run this thing in demo mode and know that the customers in the store aren't going to mess it up.
Yeah, more recently, this has been extended to have more use cases. There's, I think it was an N, they or maybe an M. What's it called? Corporate-owned single-use devices, which is frequently the kiosk mode, which is like I want it to do the one thing and never change.
Yeah.
So it still kind of keeps like seeping out into more and more things. Lock task is everywhere.
Interesting. I mean, as everything that we work on, it's like the thing that you do here will either be used or some of the technology underlying it will be used elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, and it definitely holds true with the like whoever touched it last like owns it. You know, like I'm still getting emails about it. Like, hey, got some questions about this API. It's like, wait, it's not me anymore.
And now you're the last toucher owner of quick settings and quick settings.
Yeah. I don't think I'm just the last. I care greatly about quick settings, and I plan to hold on to it as long as I can.
Excellent. From your cold dead fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Anything else?
Bunch of random stuff, you know.
What would you like to see people do with quick settings? I guess you talked about the IoT. Do you have any other
IoT.
Great dreams of what you want developers to be doing with this thing?
I've heard some crazy stuff. There was one which was someone said like, you know, your favorite playlist. I thought that might be interesting, like in a music app, which would like cause a playlist.
Oh, what about fake a phone call so that you can get out of a conversation? Hang on. I think someone's,
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Oh, that would be really great.
Okay.
Or just navigate home. That would be nice, too, because usually when I, you know.
Navigate home. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I have to pull up maps and find my places and click on home, you know. And usually that's one of those things. Not that I don't know how to get home, but I use navigation every single day just so that I can see if there's a traffic problem.
Yeah. Right. And that falls totally under the frequently case, which is like I am frequently doing this every single day.
So many things.
Please go ahead. And actually, you know, That would be sort of call to action, right?
Yeah. Right. If we did those here.
Yeah. Can we put up the call to action slide?
Yeah, I also tend to be, I try to be pretty open-minded. So like, even if I can't imagine all of the use cases for Quick Settings, I have this like deep feeling that like, it's a beautiful space. Like, like people want to put things there and I don't know what it's going to be, but I just like, I want to see what they are. So I really want to be surprised by developers and be like, I never even thought of that, but it's brilliant.
Do you think that the creator of billboards thought the same thing and then within a few years was just weeping softly in a corner, seeing what had happened to that beautiful space?
I really don't want to answer that. Boy, you really turned that dark. Oh, man.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm just going to go cry in the corner now.
Right. Well, okay, then anyways. I guess we're done. All right, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.